Mag, start to the day here. Lots of sunshine. And I know we would love to hear about some rain in our forecast, both locally. Let's face it. Although just about everyone is getting close to being done seeding, you can never be without too much moisture in these parts now after seeding. But to help those wildfires up north, it would be welcome too. But it's just going to be hot and dry the next few days here. Keeping you updated with our special coverage of the wildfires burning in northern Saskatchewan. We've got reporters on the scene from Candle Lake Resort area there. Some have probably visited Candle Lake. You're aware of it. Maybe you own a cabin there or know someone with a cabin. You've visited. Many live there year-round, of course, too. And they're all under voluntary evacuation in that area at the moment. And a little more on what that means and what the scene is like, I thought I'd get Mia Holloway-Chuck, our reporter who was at Candle Lake Resort yesterday, to join me. Good morning, Mia.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. I'll bet many of the locals you spoke to are experiencing some pretty high anxiety levels right about now, right?
Absolutely. When I was up there, it was a little bit of a 50-50 split between a real sense of urgency to get out and others were kind of waiting to see what would happen. But there were a lot of vehicles with boats hitched and heading south. Lots of people said, you know, this is their second home or, like you said, permanent residence. So it would be absolutely devastating, you know, if a fire ruined their cabins. A lot of people are just saying they're very uncertain about the situation right now.
What did you notice in how people are preparing for the worst? I think you spoke to someone who had a bunch of rubber totes just in case full of valuables. How are they preparing?
Well, other than just taking their boats back to the city, lots of people have their trailers packed with important stuff like wedding photos, passports, important documents that you really don't want to lose. And their cars are just pointed in the right direction if they need to get out at a moment's notice. One man I talked to actually was building a sprinkler system on his roof so that he can turn it on from his phone if he had to leave at any time. When I talked to the mayor, she said, Colleen Lavoie, she's really urging people to have everything ready because, you know, if you have to leave, she said there's no coming back in. So everybody is just getting everything packed up and ready to go.
Yeah, you got to be creative with those sprinkler systems. I've seen that previously in fire situations. And I imagine many people are standing out there with a hose too, thinking, well, I'll wet it down if I have to leave too first with a sprinkler on top of the roof. But Mia Holloway-Chuck is at Candle Lake, northeast of Prince Albert. So you can smell or see the fire in the distance from there? Or what was your sense of that?
When you are standing there, you could see just west of the community across the water that there was some smoke brewing when I was there. Residents told me that it was much larger the night before, and they showed me pictures, and you could see the flames would just light up the sky. It was so big. One lady said the day before, just from her house, you could see the barrels and barrels of smoke. The flames are burning closer to Minnewaka Beach Resort, so people said that would actually be one of the first communities to go kind of with these fires. But it really is just a waiting game at this point. We are expected to hear from the Public Safety Agency later this afternoon at 1:30 for an update just on how big the province's fires and the situation across the province is getting.
Awesome. Well, thanks for this report, Mia. Mia Holloway-Chuck from Candle Lake, I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And in other news this morning, if you missed it, well, Parliament was in session yesterday, and it was Mark Carney's first question period. Immediately, Conservative House Leader Andrew Scheer was ready to confront Prime Minister Mark Carney.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I would like to welcome the Prime Minister to his first official question period. This is where democracy lives, and this is where we provide rigorous scrutiny on every word he says and every dollar he spends on behalf of Canadians.
Could you also indulge me to say how great it is to see you in the Speaker's chair, and I trust that you're operating under the period of grace that will not be accorded to me appropriately.
The heckle there was time as if he was already up. They heckle one another quite often, and yes, Andrew Scheer is the House Leader for now. Obviously, outside of question period stood Pierre Poilievre, the leader of the Conservatives, but not in the House of Commons. He lost a seat, if you recall, in the last election. Standing outside, he said this.
I'd love to be in there. It's a great place. I love the House of Commons. I love the excitement and the thrill. And I've never really been a spectator of the House. So I'm going to work hard to earn the opportunity to do it again. I consider it a great privilege that I've been able to do it for so long in the past, and I think the opposition has a great role to hold the most powerful people in the country accountable through question period.
He's waiting for that Alberta by-election, which he no doubt will win, but not likely till the fall. Well, it is going to be a good time because Western Major League Baseball is back tonight at Curry Field. The Red Sox return, taking on the Swift Current 57s. Want to have a quick check-in with the leader of the Sox, Mr. Gary Brotzel, joins me. So what's this ballpark experience going to be like for fans tonight when they arrive, Gary?
Well, number one, we're going to have great weather. I think it's supposed to be 28, 29, so you can't beat a great night at the ballpark when the weatherman cooperates. So should be great weather. I can definitely say the beer will be cold.
Food?
Lots of food, yeah. Our concessions is fantastic, and it's reasonably priced. All the usual ballpark fare, burgers, hot dogs, popcorn, peanuts,
awesome.
You name it, we got it. And like I said, it's all reasonably priced and family affordable.
Straight from work, pick up the kids, we'll eat at the ballpark. The opening pitch plan is with the Pat C's, I think, tonight.
Yeah, we're going to honor the Pat Canadians. I mean, they just had a heck of a season, winning everything this year. The nice tie-in there is Ryan Hodgins, the head coach, his son, Rhett, is on our roster this year. So,
interesting.
Ryan's no stranger to Curry Field. Doesn't miss too many games. It's just going to be a nice little father-son moment there for him.
How about a quick update on the ball club this year? What can fans expect out of the team?
Oh, we're going to be strong. On paper, maybe the best roster we've ever assembled. Like, we have 18 Division I players, a lot of returnees, 15, 16 returnees.
Awesome.
A lot of seniors and juniors. So a very old, experienced team. We got players that most of our roster has at least 4 years experience playing college baseball. A lot of them five and the odd one six. So,
sounds like a pretty promising season. Then family fun at Curry Field comes at a great price, right? What can a family of four get in there for?
Yeah, actually a family of five, $37. And
you can get those tickets
off our website. And Slider, our mascot, is always a fan favorite with the kids.
Okay, well, we'll be there tonight, my friend. Thank you so much for the update. 7 o'clock, right?
You bet. 7 o'clock, Swift Current 57s.
Gary Brotzel, thank you so much. I appreciate it, my man. Plans and preparations are underway for Mosaic's return on June 5th through 7th, not this weekend, next weekend. And I've got another family pack of passports for you and your kids. If you want one, send me your first and last name now. Text 1-877-300-7275. Include your favorite pavilion. And Frank, my producer, will randomly select a winner and direct message you, okay, for a family pack of Mosaic passports. Get on that right now, 1-877-300-7275. Well, you heard the weather tomorrow. If you're going to Mosaic Stadium, it is going to be a very pleasant evening at Mosaic with a temperature of 27 degrees tomorrow. Rider training camp is pretty much over now. The last chance for Rider hopefuls to show coaches what they can do is tomorrow night. And joining me is CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray. How long do you think the starters will play compared to a lot of these rookies?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be very similar to what we saw in preseason game one there, Greg. Probably a quarter and a little bit, though. I think if the starters come out, let's say Trevor Harris, 6 of 7, 60 yards and a touchdown, pull him after that first drive. You just want to see these guys execute and that they're on the same page, because it's a quick turnaround to get to Thursday here, June 5th, against the Ottawa Redblacks. So you don't want to keep them in there too long, but you need to see that execution.
Okay. Well, Coach Mace, you talk to him every day when you're there. He wants to see probably a few specifics from starters. What might he be looking for?
Yeah, just that they're comfortable running the offense and that everyone knows their job and they don't have those mental mistakes that you tend to have early in camp as you kind of get back into it. Keep the penalties to a minimum. That's really been something they've been focusing on this training camp is penalties. They've even brought in a new way to discipline the players. If they go offside, they have to run through the end zone and then they miss their rep there. So they're trying their best to keep those penalties down to a minimum. And I think that's what he wants to see, execution and discipline.
Kickoff tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Mosaic. Green Zone pregame show starts at 5. Maybe in advance you could give us a bit of a preview on some of the players you think we should keep an eye on.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Dre McCrae and how many kick returns he gets. He got a lot of action in game number one there. We'll see if they give Mario Alford more of a chance or if they really like what McCrae showed there. And then it's all about depth with this team, really. Not too many starting spots up for grabs. I want to see a guy like Aaron Patrick, see if he can flash a little bit. He played in the NFL, of course. Now here in the CFL trying to make the team, expect a lot from him. And then Canadian receivers. This is a team that's going with three Canadian wide receivers. That means you need to have some depth there. So we'll see who shows up at this game. Mitch Picton, you know what you get with him. I thought Braden Mazzeri's had a really good camp and had a good first preseason game. So we'll see who else stands out in that group as well.
Okay, I look forward to it. Thank you, Britton. Appreciate the coverage.
Not a problem.
Writer, reporter, Britton Gray. Don't forget, too, we found out one half of the Stanley Cup final has been decided. The defending champion, Florida Panthers, beat the Hurricanes 5-3 last night. Florida moves into its third straight championship series. So will they be against the Oilers? Of course they will. I promise you. The West, though, has yet to be decided officially. The Oilers are in Dallas for game tonight. And, of course, if they win, it's over. They're up 3-1 on Dallas. However, Zach Hyman, we lost him. The man has had surgery on his arm already. He's gone. Hey, the next man up. It's been the mentality of the Oilers, and I don't think we're going to be in a bad spot by no means. So if the Oil do win tonight, the Stanley Cup will start next Wednesday. If they don't win, no matter what, the Stanley Cup will start Saturday, June 7th. All right, I gave those Mosaic passports out to Lindsay Lerat. Congratulations, Lindsay. And hey there, Evangeline. I think your young daughter, 6 years old, I'm told. Listening every morning, appreciate it. Hope you enjoy Mosaic together next weekend. Sadly, this weekend, there's just a lot of anxiety in Candle Lake, the resort village northeast of PA. It's under voluntary evacuation, and the resort area is asking for everyone to, well, don't go unless perhaps you have a cabin there and maybe you need to pick up some belongings just in case. It's not under an evacuation order right now. Greg White from Saskatoon, he was doing what he could to get caught up yesterday. He owns a cabin. He calls it his family's second home away from home, and he's up there to haul some valuables away just in case.
I have confidence that our firefighters will do their thing, but in the event that something goes wrong, I'm taking stuff away.
Yeah, some people up there have cabins that have been in the family, you know, for generations, and they're trying to do what they can to save them by setting up sprinklers on rooftops just in case. Michelle Matlock, who lives in Candle Lake, told us this.
We're just going to wait and hope and pray that we get some rain and the winds go the right way. We're planning on putting sprinklers on the roof and, I don't know, doing whatever we can, I guess, to try and save it and just actually, you know, hoping everybody just stays safe. And
now, they are fighting as best as they can. Alaska, even Quebec, lending aerial support to firefighters, and our public safety agency admits resources are stretched pretty thin right now, and they're going to update us about 1:30 this afternoon. But yeah, like it's kind of like working in an emergency room there up north for them, right? Because, you know, in an emergency room, doctors are trying to decide, okay, this patient needs care first. Same kind of process going for them up there, and resources are what they are. They're trying their very best, and Manitoba's declared a state of emergency as wildfires are now threatening some 17,000 people there. Manitoba Premier Wab Kanu.
The military is being called for help here because of the sheer scale of these 17,000 folks that we need to move relatively quickly. We're talking about hours instead of days to move this amount of people.
Yeah, and at risk right now are numerous First Nations, some smaller towns in the north, but most notable Flin Flon, right? nearby Creighton, Saskatchewan. Of course, it jumped the border yesterday, and that's where we are this morning. Alberta, west of us, they've got massive wildfire season going right now. Active fires at 40, and they've got heat warnings there as well. Much more coverage coming up, of course, with Evan Bray here at 8:30. Quick note, it sounds like President Trump and Elon Musk are friends off. Elon Musk has left the Donald Trump administration after criticizing some policy changes this week.
You know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
So that little preview clip right there was enough to set off the White House a little more, because Elon gave that interview, and it's just a preview of what's to come on CBS Sunday Morning in an extended interview. But that clip yesterday caught Trump's people's ear and his ear, and apparently at the White House last night, a special government employee said, yes, his exit will be assisted. That went sideways. But of course, Elon also felt it in his own right because of what he was doing with the White House. And it's sort of cost him when it came to Tesla. So that's why he's back sticking it to what he knows. But yeah, friends off there. Well, let's see how that story develops through the day, too.